My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth, part of the Secret Recordings Network, back with a brand new episode, a new guest who got married at Walt Disney World. Yes, an actual Disney bride. She got married underneath the Tree of Life at Magic Kingdom. We'll just talk to her in a moment. All the latest news, anything that's going on, stuff to look forward to if you're going over the next few weeks, and answering your questions. If you've got any questions, we're on the socials, at PodMagical. Hello to Brittany. We are going to Disney World in August. We're staying on site. What's the deal with booking Lightning Lanes from the UK? Do I need a VPN? Have I got to wait 7 days? Have I got to wait 3 days? Well, you go in to stay at a Walt Disney hotel, which means 7 days before your trip is when you can book your Lightning Lanes. But it's not just 7 days before. As soon as that 7 day window opens, it's for the rest of your trip, up to 14 days. So the secret is, if you, I wouldn't advise booking Lightning Lanes for every single day of your trip, because I guess expensive. You book, like, say you're going for 14 days. I would book them maybe for like the second week. Because which case, you know, there's going to be more availability, because you can book your Lightning Lanes towards the end of your trip. You're getting real advantage there. So it's 7 days before you go at midday. So it's 7 a.m. Eastern time. That's midday for us. 7 days if you're staying on site for the next 14 days. If you're not staying at Disney, yours is 3 days before. But as I say, you get better slots towards the end of your trip. It's like when you can book your restaurants as well, because you get that advantage. The earlier you can book, the more availability there will be. So there you go. Hope that answers your question. Don't go crazy with Lightning Lanes. I used Lightning Lanes on my last trip a few weeks ago because I wanted to go into Big Thunder Mountain. I booked 7 days out, but it was like 9 days before, because I literally, my last day in the parks was the day that Big Thunder reopened before I went on a cruise. So that's why we booked the Lightning Lanes. So I booked Buzz Lightyear, because I'd not done that one since they changed it. So I booked that one for the morning, followed by Haunted Mansion, because you know, you have to book tiers. And then my tier one attraction was Big Thunder. And even though I booked like 9 days, maybe even 10 days in advance, I could only get 8:30 at night. And the annoying thing is, when the Lightning Lane opened, I got a notification to say that Big Thunder was down. So in fact, all three Lightning Lanes that I booked were down at the time I was supposed to use them. Buzz was down, Haunted Mansion was down, and then Big Thunder was down when it was my time to ride that. So the three Lightning Lanes that I'd booked in advance, 9 or 10 days before, were down, so I never actually got to use them. I did eventually do Big Thunder the day after I got off my cruise. I just rocked up and just waited an hour, which I wish I'd have done in the first place. But there you go. I hope that's helped with Lightning Lanes. Any questions that you may have, or if you'd like to be a podcast guest, drop me a message at PodMagical. On this episode of the podcast, we've got an actual Disney fairy tale bride. Yes, somebody who actually got married at actual Walt Disney World in actual Animal Kingdom, but she'll tell us all about it. Hello, welcome to the podcast, Chelsea.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, I've been stalking your photos.
Oh.
So you got married at Animal Kingdom?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I got married at 5:30 in the morning, which sounds a bit crazy, but it was definitely worth it.
Underneath the Tree of Life?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
The dream. Well, I'm going to ask you all about how you came about getting married at Disney World.
Okay.
The logistics and the day and the planning and everything like that. But let's go back, because obviously, getting married at Disney World, you must be a bit of a fan of Disney.
A little bit. A minor obsession.
So what do you remember about the very, very, very first time you went as a kid, I'm assuming?
So I didn't actually go to Walt Disney World until May 2018. So I was actually 21 years old.
Right.
But I did go to Disneyland Paris when I was 12, and that is when my obsession started. We could never really afford Walt Disney World as a family. It just wasn't possible for us. And then the whole family, I think there's about 13 or 14 of us, we saved for years. And we all went in May 2018. And that is when my huge obsession started.
Yeah.
And after that, I work all hours under the sun to make my trips to Disney World happen.
This is what every guest on the podcast says. You save up, you go for that once in a lifetime trip. Once, and you can never go, once you've been, you can't just go once.
Oh no, you've got to go every year if you can.
And long for you, the first time we went, you say 2018.
Yeah.
And then we had years there when we couldn't go because of COVID, the pandemic.
Oh yeah. And what was worse was in 2019, we returned and we bought Disney Vacation Club points when we were there. And then COVID hit, so we couldn't use our points.
When did you buy your DVC then?
We bought it in September 2019. So just over a year and a half after our first visit, we bought DVC points.
Were you Riviera?
Yes.
I did exactly the same. Because it didn't open until the December.
No.
And we'd had a trip planned for the following year to use it.
Yeah.
And we couldn't go. But we banked our points. And then it was coming towards the end of even the banked points were going to expire. But then they said, oh, you can save it a little bit more. They were really good and they let us stay a little bit more. So we ended up going about three or four times the following year because we had so many points.
That is amazing. Yeah, I mean, I think then as well, they actually gave you 51 years. They gave you an extra year, didn't they? So we had loads of points to use that we couldn't actually use.
Yeah.
So in the end, I did rent them out. I rented them out to a family in Canada.
Good idea, yeah.
Which was probably a really good idea at the time because everything was just so unsure. So
that's it, yeah. Because even I think when we went, we literally had weeks before they were going to expire. But
yeah,
rent them out and make money or just go loads of times.
Yeah.
So what is it about Disney World that you love?
As a child, I was obsessed with Disney movies, and I feel like with Disney World, it kind of brings back the whole world of imagination as a child, and there is always something new to see and do, and that's just what I love about Disney World. You can go back multiple times, and there is always something new to do.
Now, I am going to ask you about all your favourite Disney World things, attractions, hotels, restaurants. We'll talk through your perfect day at Walt Disney World. But I'm guessing to have a perfect day at Disney World when you've got married there, it's going to be a tricky one to beat, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Why did you decide to get married at Walt Disney World?
I love Disney so much. When I was looking at venues in the UK, no venue felt right for us. We were not excited. I thought, how ridiculous is it that we will be spending all of this money on a day that we're not actually excited about? So when we spoke to our family and said, we are looking to get married in Walt Disney World, would you come? Pretty much everyone that we would definitely have wanted there, we would have liked to have had more. Obviously, that's not possible. But everyone that we really wanted there came, and we were so lucky to have that. So that's why we chose Walt Disney World.
You're not going to say no, are you? I'm getting married at Disney World. Would you like to come? Yeah, start packing my Winnie the Pooh bag as I'm going. So where did you take it from there then? You go, right, we're going to get married at Disney World. How do you even start researching? How do you start planning? Because I know they've got Disney Fairy Tale Weddings. I've had one, and I've seen the series on Disney Plus. So how do you do it, especially from the UK?
So it was mainly all through video call. Everything was so smooth. At 16 months, I kind of told them exactly what I wanted. We spoke to someone at the 16-month mark. So I told them what we would have liked. We would have liked to get married in Animal Kingdom. And you kind of give them a rough date, but they don't actually get back to you until about 12 months before.
Yeah.
When you actually start really planning and giving proper dates, and then they will put in the requests for the park operators to confirm whether that is okay. And then around 11 months, that's when they confirmed the date of our wedding. And that's when the real planning started. So then you get to choose your photographers. If you can choose outside photographers, I did choose Disney Fine Art Photography myself. It was easier from the UK, just having everything be Disney rather than trying to get outside vendors to do the wedding. It was just a lot easier to just have it all as Disney. So that's what we chose.
But I'm guessing, as well as, you know, planning a wedding is like life-changing and takes over your life from the moment you decide until then. But on top of that, you're kind of planning a holiday as well, and flights and Disney accommodation and other people who've got to come. So where did you all stay?
So I stayed at the Grand Floridian with my now husband. The rest of my family stayed at Saratoga Springs, and some family stayed at All Star Sports, and some family members stayed also off-site.
Did you coordinate that with Fairy Tale Weddings, or was that a whole, like,
no,
as long as we know where we're going and where we're staying?
Okay, yeah, it was all separate, mainly all done through DVC points, apart from, of course, off-site and All Stars.
And I know the other thing you have to organise yourself is somebody to actually marry you.
Yes.
How did you choose that? Because that's the only thing that's not really done through Disney, isn't it?
Yes. So I chose Rev Kev. He's very popular. He was featured on one of the, I think, quite a few of the episodes of Disney Fairy Tale Weddings on Disney Plus when that was available to watch. So that's who I chose. I just thought he was really great, and I knew he was the one for us. So as soon as I got the date for the wedding, I emailed him straight away.
So you've got everything lined up then now. We've got a venue.
Yeah.
Got somebody to marry you. Your photographers were all sorted out. What about music? Did you choose music? How does that work?
Oh, music was probably one of the last things that we decided. It was about 2 or 3 months before the wedding that I had to make a decision on exactly what I wanted. We had a violinist there, but we decided actually we want a string trio. So we did upgrade that. I can't actually, I'll be honest, I can't remember the music that we had.
There's a lot going on that day, Chelsea.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. So we chose a string trio. They were absolutely incredible. But if I'm completely honest, being the bride, my head was just all over the place. I didn't take it in like I would have wanted. Luckily, I had my auntie and my uncle there who took videos of the string trio, so I can look back at that now.
And what about other things? So you got your ceremony at Animal Kingdom. Was there like a party before, party after, or did you just do your own thing? Or did you have other things added onto it as well?
So there was a reception after, which was pretty much straight after. We all walked round to Tamu Tamu, where we had our reception. Which was a buffet breakfast, which was absolutely lovely. I chose everything on the buffet individually, and the chefs were amazing at making that happen.
You say a buffet breakfast, because what time was your actual wedding again?
Our wedding was at 5:30.
And I think,
yes. It was an actual breakfast.
Yeah, because they call it the wedding breakfast, but like, yeah, we got married at 5:30 in the morning. It was an actual breakfast. Yeah. When did you land? And then when was the actual wedding?
So we landed on the 31st of October and the wedding was on the 4th.
Right, okay. So you had a few days, but you were still kind of in that jet lag situation where you were still waking up early. I'm guessing with excitement as well, that you're not going to sleep at all, are you?
Yeah, I think that definitely helped, where we were still getting up really early anyway. That was definitely a huge help with, I had to get up at 1:30 in the morning. So I will be honest, though, I didn't sleep.
No, of course
not. I was just awake the whole time. Where we were staying at the Grand Floridian, we were actually watching Happily Ever After at, I think, 10 p.m. And I was thinking to myself, right, I need to be up in 3.5 hours.
But getting married in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's still like a dream, isn't it, when you think back about it all?
Yeah, it was incredible. When I look back, I think, wow, I can't believe we actually done that.
So talk me through the day then. So you got up at 1:30 and then what, hair and makeup, descended into Grand Floridian. Talk me through the rest of the day.
So I got up at 1:30. Luckily, my sister-in-law is She's a hairstylist, so she done that for me. I actually done my own makeup on the wedding day. And then we got ready, went down to the Grand Floridian, and that is when we had our first look. So me and Chris had our first look. All the family was there to watch as well. And of course, then after that, we had lots of photos done at the Grand Floridian, which was incredible.
So what time was that? So everybody met at the Grand Floridian?
Yeah, so that was about 4 o'clock in the morning.
But again, there'd be nobody in the Grand Floridian. It's the there perfect no time one. For pictures
there was
and everything.
One person on one of the balcony areas that was watching the whole time. But
how dare they?
That,
get out. Probably security.
And there was staff hoovering as well, which was weird. But yeah, apart from that, it was really great. And then after that, we got a limo transfer to Animal Kingdom, and that's when the staff walked. Me and Chris were separate with my sister and his brother.
Right.
We walked into Animal Kingdom because I asked to leave 5 or 10 minutes earlier than everyone else because I just wanted to take it all in. So our guests arrived about 10 minutes after us. So we were able to walk into Animal Kingdom, walk down to the Tree of Life and see it all set up without anyone else there, which was incredible.
Did you walk in where you actually walk in as a guest with it being like the park being completely closed? So you walked in like that reveal with the Tree of Life that you would see anyway?
Yes. Yeah, you do. Yeah. Yeah. You walk through the normal turnstiles as you would normally on a normal park day.
And so the wedding was then at 5:30. What was the weather like? Because 5:30 in the morning,
it can be
changeable. Oh, right. Okay.
I think it was about 16 or 17 degrees, which was pretty good. It was a really good day to get married. It wasn't too hot, but it wasn't cold either.
And then after the wedding?
After the wedding, we went off with our photographer for about 20 minutes and our wedding coordinator took all of our guests to Tamu Tamu to go and get a drink. So whilst we were getting photos done with our photographer, so we went round the tree and had a few photos done. And then we headed back to Tamu Tamu to meet up with our guests again. And that's when we done the cake cutting. I chose to do the cake cutting then because after that, we no longer had photographers. We only had our photographers for around 3 hours altogether. Adding on photographers for our sit down meal was just far too much money. And to be honest, I didn't want a whole bunch of photos of us just sat there eating.
You're going to have a lot of pictures to choose from the Tree of Life and around them. Yeah. It's like better than, you know, Auntie Doreen eating a cake.
So it cut costs quite a lot there, choosing to cut our cake first rather than after.
Yeah. What about a first dance? Did you get to do a first dance somewhere? Was that done at like 7 o'clock in the morning?
We didn't have a first dance. It's one of the things that we didn't want to do.
Yeah. And I can totally see that.
That's the great thing with Disney. If you don't want to do something, you don't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave us loads of different options. They actually said that we could do our first dance in front of the tree with our string trio, but we decided not to.
Yeah, it's a bit embarrassing, isn't it, really?
I know.
Were you allowed like run of the park as well for photographs? Or you were allowed to go somewhere? Could you pick areas where you could have pictures taken?
I mean, the park was empty, completely empty. I mean, our photographer took us around. We didn't really choose, but we wanted photos in front of the tree anyway, and that's where we were taken. So yeah. I was really happy with that.
But you also had photographs taken at Magic Kingdom.
We did, yeah. Yeah, that was a week after the wedding. So then we had to get back into our wedding attire again at around, I think it was about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. We started getting ready for that. I did have a makeup artist and hairstylist for that. And then we went to Magic Kingdom. We got picked up by our photographers again. And went off to Magic Kingdom and had some photos done there as well.
So what time were you in Magic Kingdom?
I think it was about 5:30 in the morning.
But was it still dark? So it looks like at night.
Yes, it was still dark.
So it looks like the later that day. But actually, it's later that week. And it was 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Are the guests there, or is it just you and Chris, your husband?
It was just me and Chris. There was a couple of other brides there getting photos done, but to be honest, you don't really notice them. Apart from that, you kind of see all the park operators behind the scenes, which is really interesting. I was at the castle getting photos done when a couple of the cast members wanted to set up the fireworks at the castle. So that was really interesting to see.
Oh, okay. So what else did you have? So you've had your wedding day, you've had extra pictures at Magic Kingdom. Was there anything else that you did as part of your wedding?
So separately, we booked all of our family to eat at Be Our Guest. There were 17 of us, but we didn't do that through Disney Fairytale Weddings. I'd done that myself. I booked two separate tables because you can only book a maximum of 10 people on one table. So I booked two separate tables at the same time. So there was a table of 10 and a table of 7. And we were so lucky that Be Our Guest sat us quite close together. So we were able to kind of sit near each other, which was
So,
nice.
yeah. So more of a wedding dinner. Like, was that later on in the
Yeah.
holiday or later on in the
No,
day?
that was the wedding day.
Oh, the day. I was
Yeah.
going to say, what else did you do in the day? Because you're
Yeah.
not going to go like, all right, we've got married now. We've been to Tamu Tamu. Right, let's get on Everest in my wedding dress. What was the rest of the day then?
So after Tamu Tamu, we all went back. We had a 7-hour gap, so I recommended everyone to kind of relax. And then we had our wedding dinner at Be Our Guest. And then we also booked everyone to do the firework dessert party at the Garden Plaza viewing area for the
Ah,
fireworks.
brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. But I'm guessing you can't go in your frock.
No, you
Back, no.
can't. No, I had a separate white dress, which was just a pretty casual kind of white dress
Yeah.
for that part of the day.
Well, it sounds incredible. How long was your actual holiday then for the two of you? And then what about everybody else? Did you like, right, we've had the wedding now, off you go, back on the flight, go home, and then we can have an actual bit of a honeymoon now. How did that work out?
Everyone was there for 2 weeks, so it was
Okay.
incredible.
I suppose if you fly into Florida, you don't want to go like, did you send me home now? But so did you have another honeymoon besides?
No, we are doing Route 66 in September, and then we are going back to Walt Disney World for our anniversary.
Oh, okay. Are you going to do Disney World and Disneyland?
Disneyland we are doing in September, and
Right.
then Disney World in November.
Okay. Do you know what else you should do as well? Okay, I'm not like I'm planning your life here for you, but as you're a DVC member, have you been to Aulani in Hawaii?
No.
Ah, Chelsea is so good.
Is a oh, I do need
Yeah.
to go.
Yeah, you've got DVC points as well, but you
I
need to do
know.
it when you're in LA because it's such a long flight. But
Oh, I
Aulani,
bet.
yeah,
Oh,
especially
okay.
if you love Animal Kingdom Lodge, because it's Joe Rohde designed. Ah, promise me you'll go.
I will. I mean, it's a def it is definitely on my bucket list.
Right, tick that down as a second honeymoon. Andy said we need to go, but we've got DVC,
Okay.
so technically it's free. Have we got Disney bride Chelsea with us on the podcast? Back with our Disney bride in just a moment. Some news from Walt Disney World. There's going to be a new place to eat when the Muppets take over Rock and Roller Coaster because the Swedish chef is opening up his own little food booth. I don't think he's actually going to be there, but there will be food inspired by the Muppets just outside the Rock and Roller Coaster. Talking to food, there's a new menu over at Animal Kingdom in Nomad Lounge and Tiffin's, which celebrate their 10th anniversary. There's a new charcuterie and cheese board, crispy chicken wings, wild mushroom dumplings, no churros. And also we've got the times and dates for the fireworks for the 4th of July. It's going to be a big one this year. It's always big fireworks at Magic Kingdom for the 4th of July. Well, this year it's the 250th birthday of the United States of America. So the 4th of July fireworks will be on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of July, and they'll replace Happily Ever After. So you get the 4th of July concert in the sky at 9 p.m. at Magic Kingdom, 3rd, 4th, and 5th of July. I'd love to be there for that, but yeah, I don't think I'm going to get a reservation, and I can't really go again just for the weekend, can I? Any more news between now and the next podcast? Follow us on the socials at PodMagical. Chelsea's with us on this episode of the podcast. It's been brilliant talking about your wedding, but there's many other Disney World things that we need to talk about, Chelsea.
Yeah.
So, what's your favourite attraction?
Oh, I've got to say, Probably Flight of Passage. I think with that ride, when I very first went on it, if I could bottle up that feeling and keep it, I definitely would.
Did you get to do it on your wedding day when you were?
No, I didn't.
No.
I
Did you get
want.
pictures around Pandora?
No, I didn't. But there is something we are doing in November through Disney Fine Art Photography, but I haven't announced it on my Instagram yet, so I
Okay.
don't want to talk about
Okay.
it.
So, what is your Instagram? Because then we can follow you and we can wait for the announcement and see the pictures.
It's called Happily Ever Hitched.
Happily Ever Hitched, because everybody's going to want to have a look at your wedding photos anyway. So that's where we are. Happily Ever Hitched. I was going to ask you about that later on. So we'll keep our eye on what else you've got planned for later on this year. But Flight of Passage, favourite attraction then?
It is definitely my favourite, yeah.
What about favourite resort? Because you are a DVC member, so you can stay pretty much anywhere.
So, believe it or not, despite the fact the Riviera was our first DVC contract, the Grand Floridian has so much sentimental value to us now because that's where we stayed for our wedding.
Yeah, of course.
So, we bought points there as well.
Oh. Oh
I
no, she got adenomatous.
So we got points there. The Grand Floridian is just, it's my absolute favourite. You just can't go wrong there. I mean, being able to walk to Magic Kingdom within sort of 10 minutes
Yeah.
is just amazing.
Do you know what? I have to admit that we bought at Riviera, but then we added on to Bay Lake Tower for that reason. But
Oh,
it's great having a
incredible.
resort near Epcot, but we also need a resort near
Oh, yeah.
Magic
You
Kingdom as
need a
well.
monorail resort
Yeah,
and
got
you
to, haven't
need
you?
a. Yeah.
You can't slum it and like be the other side of Walt Disney World. No. When it comes to places to eat, you're a bit of a Disney foodie. You got any favourite restaurants?
I got to be honest, I'm not that much of a foodie. I think my favorite restaurant is probably Be Our Guest or Space 220, but
Yeah.
that's because of the immersive experience. Not being a foodie, for me, it's all about the experience, and I just think those restaurants are absolutely incredible for that. So yeah, I definitely recommend Space 220 and Be Our Guest at least once, just to try it.
And what about being outside Disney World? Obviously, Disney fan, you DVC, you got married there. What about going out to a place like Universal or SeaWorld or shopping or anything? Do you venture out of the bubble?
We do, yeah. We do sometimes go to the outlets. Normally, we will only do one day Universal for each trip. So, our last trip, we done Epic Universe, being that it's the new park. But normally, if it depends on the time of year that we go. So, if we normally go around September, we will do Halloween Horror Nights. We like to do
Oh,
that.
brave.
Yeah.
You must have picked up quite a few tips over the years. Like, if people are coming to you going, "We're going to Disney World for the first time," or "We've been once or twice," what would you recommend people do? What are your tips?
I would probably say just go with the flow. You will never complete Disney World, no matter how many times you visit. And I would always recommend to just sit on Main Street for 20 minutes and just take in all the atmosphere. I feel like the last time I'd done that, I regretted not doing it more often because it's just so incredible to just take it all in.
Yeah. I heard somebody saying on another podcast a few weeks ago, like when they first started going to Disney World, like the perfect day would be doing as many attractions as many times as possible when they first went. But now it's like, if we've been to Walt Disney World and we've only done a few attractions, but we've been there all day, that's
Yeah,
a good day because
it
you're
is.
taking in more than just running to rides and doing rides.
Yeah, there's been days where we've been to multiple parks in one day, and not once have we even been on a ride. We've just taken in the whole atmosphere of the whole park,
Yeah.
and it's just as incredible as doing all of the rides.
Do less, enjoy more.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Take it
Oh,
in.
what about if anybody is thinking about getting married at Walt Disney World? What advice would you give to them and where would you start?
I would advise to do your research on everything in terms of where you wanted to get married and the costs of everything. So there is actually a book that I downloaded. It's called the Carrie Heywood's Wedding Guide. I think that's what it's called.
Oh, she has a podcast as well.
She does have a podcast.
Disney Fairy Tale Wedding Podcast.
Yes, she does. And when I downloaded that book, there was so much information that I would have never have known that I'm so glad I downloaded that book. It is a small charge. I think it cost me about £15, but it was worth every single penny.
Had you been stalking the Disney Fairy Tale Wedding website like years in advance?
Not really, no. I just decided and then emailed them straight away.
Yeah, because otherwise you'd talk yourself out of it.
It was actually my auntie that said, if you're not happy with any venue in the UK, why don't you just get married in Disney? And then after that, that's when I decided, you know what, let's just email them and see what happens, thinking there's absolutely no way that we could afford a Disney World wedding. And we made it happen. So
you can make it your own, yeah. You can tailor make it to whatever you want. What was your auntie's name, by the way?
Avril.
Everybody needs an Auntie Avril in their life.
Yeah,
talking
they
you
do.
Into stuff like that. She's your fairy godmother. Totally, totally. Now, I usually ask, what is your favourite Walt Disney World memory? But I'm still going to ask it because it may be something we're not expecting you to say. So all-time favourite memory that you'll cherish forever from any of the times that you've been, maybe the first time or when you got married, what would it be?
It was definitely when we got married. I don't think anything could really top that. And the first time we went to a dessert party in Magic Kingdom and watched the fireworks from there, that was just such an incredible memory because that was the day that we bought DVC.
Mickey Mouse has got you, hasn't he? Everywhere.
Yeah, literally.
And finally, okay, I want you to plan your perfect Walt Disney World day. All right, you're married now, so don't worry about that. But like, if you're just having a day at Disney World, we were talking before about you don't have to do a lot of attractions. So where would you stay? What rides would you do? What parades would you watch? Talk me through, like, if you're just to build an entire brilliant day going, oh, such a good day, what would you do? How would you spend it?
I think if we were staying in the Grand Floridian, I think the perfect Disney day would definitely be to walk to Magic Kingdom, get a Starbucks for definite, and then probably go around riding the rides. I'm trying to think what my favourite rides would be. Tiana's Bay Adventure is definitely my favourite. And then maybe...
You'd have to go to Animal Kingdom, wouldn't you, to do flight passes?
Yeah, definitely. I think we normally do two or three parks a day. That's quite a normal thing for us.
Same.
We never just stay in the same park. So, yeah, definitely go and ride some rides. We normally always get a Casey's. We love the hot dogs there, and we tend to actually share one of those because the meals are so huge.
Yeah.
And then we'll go off and we'll probably go and do a different park, normally Animal Kingdom. And then after we'll probably spend the evening in Epcot, going around the World Showcase, trying different foods, and then watching the fireworks.
Perfect end to the perfect day.
Yeah.
When you go back to Disney World, you go back to the Tree of Life and go, we got married here.
Like, I definitely think I will.
Stand at that same bit. Have you not been back since? Oh, no, because it was only the end of last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in November. So I think next time we go, I think it's definitely going to be a huge wow for us to walk into Animal Kingdom and actually go, wow, we actually got married here.
I think you should start a tradition of going to, if you can remember where the actual spot is where you did your vows.
Yeah.
Every time you go back to have a photograph there.
Yeah, definitely.
Like for every trip, for like from now until, you know, years and years and years time, just to look back. I think that'd be quite cool.
That would.
So when's your next trip?
We fly on the 31st of October. We won't be entering the parks until November the 1st.
Right. Because of Halloween parties or
yeah, the
tickets.
Halloween party.
But you'll be there for Christmas.
Yeah, it
well,
will be.
Well, both really, because it'll still be Halloween. That'll come down. Christmas will go up.
Yeah.
You'll see the change of seasons. And let us know again, where can we follow you on Instagram? Then we can stalk your pictures.
Happily ever hitched.
Happily ever hitched. Been brilliant chatting to you. Chelsea, have a magical day.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Would you like to join me on the podcast to talk all things Walt Disney World? I'd love to chat to you. Drop me a message at Pod Magical is where we are. Maybe you're about to go over the next few days. Maybe you're going for the half-term holidays. Going to be hot. Temperatures in the low 30s, about 33 degrees. Even at night, it only drops down to about 21, 22. Do expect some thunderstorms. It's the last few days of the Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot that runs till the 1st of June with live music. You've got AJ Crochet playing the hits of Jim Crochet, 24th and 25th. The Hooligans, Twix, 27th, 28th. Queensryche on the 29th and 30th. Maverick Music City on May the 31st. And then the Flower and Garden Garden Rock series wraps up with Maverick Music City again on the final day, which is the 1st of June. And we'll be into Cool Kids Summer, which starts early next week. A lot of new things happening, including Jesse's Roundup Rip Roaring Review at Animal Kingdom, presented by Baby Belle in the Diamond Horseshoe over at the Magic Kingdom. A Toy Story-inspired hoedown of family fun. Goofy will be at Epcot. Goofy's Game Machine at Goofy Core. That's Communicore Hall. That also starts as well. Loads of other activities at some resort hotels and at the water parks. And of course, Bluey arrives. Bluey is coming to the Animal Kingdom. It will be Virtual Queue. Yes, Virtual Queue is back because he's going to be over at Conservation Station. So Bluey and Friends, Conservation Station, Animal Kingdom. You'll have to get a train to get over there. You've got the new Zootopia that's already on. You've also got the new Rock and Roller Coaster starting the Muppets, which officially opens on May the 26th. Have you been to see the brand new Mandalorian Grogu film? That opens this weekend, as does the new mission on Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. The Magic of Animation, all that courtyard is going to open at Hollywood Studios as well. And you've got Soaring Across America, which opens at Epcot. So over the next few weeks, a lot of new things coming. So festivals will be out at Epcot. I know it is that time of year now where there's no festivals at Epcot, but it does mean you're not like drawn into getting festival food. You can go and get the bread and butter pudding from Germany and things like that. So yeah. It is actually a good time to be at Epcot when there's not a festival on. Less drunk people there at the weekend. And I do have a top tip for you. Always like to round the episode off with a top tip. This is something I discovered on my last trip. Did you know there are actually three rope drops at Animal Kingdom? You know, famously, there's two rope drops at Magic Kingdom because only part of the park opens. So if you're staying at a Disney hotel, you get in half an hour early. And then like some of the attractions open and then the rest of the attractions open at official opening time, which means you can get in early, try and get on an attraction that opens early and then get in line for when they open another land to be first in line for the next attraction. I'll call it like second rope drop. Do you know there's three at Animal Kingdom? Yes, three at Animal Kingdom. So, famously, right, the safari only opens when the park opens. So if you're going for that early half an hour, the safaris are not open. So maybe you could do Everest because that will be open. Or maybe you can get on Flight of Passage if you can get on and off in that half an hour. Then the second rope drop, I always say, is the safaris. If you can get in line for that just before all the crowds descend, then that's good. But did you know that the rapids then open a little bit later? When I went, the rapids only opened at 10 o'clock. So there's three rope drops. So maybe you can get in there and do either Everest or Flight of Passage. And then if you can get off that and be in line for the safaris, you can do that. Get on the safari nice and early when there's more animals out. And then when you've got off that, check what time the rapids open, because you can be first in line for when that opens as well. Technically, three rope drops at Animal Kingdom. Hope that helps. And as the weather gets hot, you don't mind doing the rapids at Animal Kingdom and getting drenched and wet through. I'm not a fan of walking around a theme park in wet pants, but there's another story for another day. Got a brand new episode in 2 weeks time. If you want to be on it, always looking for podcast guests at Pod Magical. Drop me a message, follow us on the socials, subscribe to the podcast. Back in 2 weeks, and until then, please stand clear of the doors.